Welcome to episode 16 of Bedtime Stories for Grown-Ups, a podcast that is created from the stuff of dreams. Once upon a time, if you were lucky, someone told you bedtime stories. Maybe someone read you books, or the same favorite book over and over. Or maybe someone made up your bedtime stories, telling you nonsensical things until you closed your eyes and let sleep take you away. These bedtime stories are the whimsical, made-up kind. Little scenes from dreamland to guide you there. There is no plot to follow, no sense to make of anything. Just a sequence of images from beyond the consciousness of day to help you let go and drift into dreamland. We came to a fork in the road. The main highway north went slightly to the right, and the road to the islands kept going straight along the beach. It was so beautiful. We wanted to go swimming, but it was starting to get dark. We were thinking about coming back the next day, when we noticed the white bear walking beside us. Our hearts leapt into our throats at first, but the bear didn't seem at all threatening. She walked beside us for a while, as though we were old friends, and nudged us a couple of times, the way a loving dog might. She was beautiful. Eventually, she wandered away, and we carried on, and she did not follow. When we were safely away, we realized what a close call that was, or a tremendous gift, or both. We think she was a spirit bear. We find some driftwood sculptures that are so lifelike, you would think they had been carved by a human hand. But it is the ocean that has made these. Maybe the ocean should have an exhibit in a gallery. In a way, found art is the most beautiful. When you are in the water, surrounded by dolphins, if you hold yourself very still and open your mind, the dolphins will send images to you. So many images of flying through the water and leaping into the air with a feeling of great joy in the moment. The dolphins are sharing their thoughts. We are learning about the differences between the major religions. It has something to do with the elements table. Each abbreviation stands for either a poem or a concept. The poems are different. Some poems are short, maybe even only a couple of words, like a sonnet or a haiku. And some poems are longer, though not all are in verse. But really, They are just different ways of saying the same thing. In an old factory that is still in use, but partially decommissioned, a couple of artists have discovered a door into a place where there is access to all of the empty floors below ground. They accidentally drop their art project, and it lands in an open area that is covered in sand and surrounded by an ornate winding staircase. They go down the stairs to retrieve the art, but the sand floor collapses underneath them, and both of the artists disappear. We call to them and get a faint response, but it is very far away. They have fallen far. We are going to need access to the decommissioned area of the factory, so we run to get help. We find a factory worker to come and help us find the lost artists. We are going down aisles and through doorways and up and down empty stairways. But now we can't seem to find the place where the artists originally fell through. The decommissioned area is strictly off limits, and it is very difficult to get in there on purpose. We keep coming to dead ends. And then there is a loud clanging, and the factory worker says that we have to evacuate immediately. We will have to leave the artists behind. We hope that the artists will not remain lost forever in the decommissioned area below ground. We are really high up in a flimsy hanging basket. We are planning to jump into the water below. It is a little scary, but the water looks so inviting. We do need to trust our instincts, and there is something that is not quite right. We go ahead and jump, and our flesh makes a sizzling sound when we hit the water. We scramble to get out as fast as we can. We need to rinse ourselves off, and quickly. What is in the water? What kind of chemicals are in the water now? A representative from the corporation came around while we were trying to clean ourselves off. He said it was nothing. What were we going to say, he wanted to know. We said it sounded like something hitting a vat of acid when we hit the water, and that is what we are going to tell people. We are going to tell everyone. We are really angry. What have you done? What has your industry done to the water? He kept walking past us wearing different disguises. He seemed to be more consumed with changing his disguises than with stopping us from spreading the bad news. He didn't really seem to care. We found ourselves in Kiev, in the midst of mass protests, in torrential rains. The rain came in thick waves, and there were such huge puddles that we could not cross the train tracks. We started down a pathway, but we weren't sure where we were going to end up. Maybe we should go in the same direction as the protesters. They seemed to be heading towards town. At least they know where they are going. We finally found some shelter from the rain, and there was a naked child huddling there. We tried to communicate, but she was catatonic. She seemed to be absolutely terrified of something. We tried to put some clothes on her, but she was so stiff and in an impossible position. We didn't know what to do with her. And she was not going to be able to give us directions to the hotel. We do not know what we are doing in Kiev, in the midst of a massive protest, in the pouring rain. Not many people walk on the sidewalks anymore. These days, everyone seems to be flying around with jetpacks on their backs. Some of the jetpacks are very powerful, and people fly really high and go very fast. But some of the lower grade versions can barely propel people across the street in time before the traffic light changes. We haven't figured out the rules yet. There will be accidents. In the distance, we can see a giant mechanical octopus. It seems to be devouring a building. Sometimes, it seems like we are walking around in a three-dimensional comic book. A friend of ours is introducing us to some of her colleagues. One of her colleagues has the gray face of a pig. It is caused by some sort of medical condition. We shake her hand, but it is really more like a hoof. She has branches growing out of her arms and legs. How strange. Does it hurt? And how does she get along with the wolf man in the corner office? A couple of needy men burst in through a back door. One of the men is saying, "Can anyone help me get this needle out of my leg?" He is a fat man, wearing a hospital gown, and his intestines are being held in by a gauze bandage. He has a large needle sticking out of his leg. We load him into a wheelbarrow and wheel him back to the hospital. At the hospital, they are surprised to see us coming in the back way through so many decades. The man in the wheelbarrow is not happy that we have brought him back. He is muttering something about the sleep of the dead. We were visiting China on an agricultural tour. The blueberries were as big as plums and very firm, and they were all over the road. There was an abundance of cherries too, many different kinds of cherries. A woman broke through security and came running towards us. "They are lying," she sobbed. She said they had paid in advance for the cultivation of their cherry crops, and they were told that the crops had failed, and so they got nothing. "And you see," she was very upset. "You see this," she said. She was pointing to the cherries spilling out of the nets and all over the road. Someone in uniform grabbed her and pulled her back into the crowd, and they disappeared. We found this quite disturbing, but we kept walking. Someone we used to know is working at a resort as a maid, cleaning the rooms. We are puzzled because we thought he had a really well-paying gig as some sort of trumped-up executive. In reality, he does just crawl into the hotel beds to nap when he thinks he can get away with it. That is how we found him in our room. We are explaining the situation to the front desk. One of the staff has overheard, and she begs to interrupt. "Stay away from that one," she says. "He is actually working off a debt to the resort by cleaning rooms. He has a gambling problem for one thing, and he is a real Lothario for another. He is married to an 80-year-old woman whom he has beggared, and he cheats on his mistress. There is his mistress sitting over there," and she points out an elegant, beautiful young woman sitting alone at a table, looking wistful and forlorn. We meet a young man with a pet otter. How delightful! The otter is so tame, and we are hugging and petting it. Carefully. Just don't touch his sensitive forearms. He doesn't like that. Then another guy with an otter shows up. "Hey," he says, "do you want to pet my otter?" So now there are two otters. They start roughhousing, and it is getting a little out of hand. Now the otters have boy faces, and one of the boys is biting the ear of the other. "Hey, stop that." We are pulling them apart. Now they are full-bodied boys with rosy cheeks and kind of blotchy skin. Otter boys. They are chasing each other around and around the outside hallway of the house. There is a hallway that runs the entire perimeter of this pentagon-shaped house. The living room is in the center of the house, and it is full of tacky furniture from the 1950s. The otter boys are running around and around the house and laughing. We ask them how old they are. "We are 7, they shout as they run past us. What is the lifespan of an otter anyway? These otter boys might not have that much time left. We had to prepare the children for the mountains. There were 2 children, one for each mountain. It was fairly straightforward. We did this every year. But the boy they had picked for the West Mountain this year was quite cocky and overly confident. He didn't seem to understand what he was getting into. He looked and acted like a pompous little emperor. What was going to happen when he had to stay still for all that time? He had no idea. The girl preparing for the East Mountain was the usual pretty young maiden. They would be merging with the mountains, so to speak. They would become guardians, and they weren't coming back. This was the way of things. A large black crow flies on silent wings behind us. Sometimes he lands on our shoulders, and we can feel his hot breath on our faces when he tenderly nuzzles behind our ears. We are familiar with this crow. We have traveled together many times. Our people came out of the end times. In those days, all of the people lived in cities. Hunger and despair had filled men with madness, and they had become accustomed to eating flesh. Our mother led them away from the cities. Thank you for listening. Sweet dreams.